It was possible to give only a few details about the secret origins of socialism and communism. What has been said, however, will be sufficient to show at least a portion of what was in Pope Leo XIII's mind when, in the encyclical on Socialism, Communism, and Nihilism, December 28, 1878, he wrote as follows, quote, "You understand, as a matter of course, venerable brothers, that we are alluding to that sect of men who, under the motley and all but barbarous terms and titles of socialists, communists, and nihilists, are spread abroad throughout the world and bound intimately together in baneful alliance, no longer look for strong support in secret meetings held in darksome places, but standing forth openly and boldly in the light of day, strive to carry out the purpose long resolved upon, uprooting the foundations of civilized society at large." End of quote. Pope Leo XIII regretted more than once that rulers did not heed the warnings of the Holy See about what was being prepared for the world in secret societies. Pope Pius XI, now that the struggle between Christ the King and satanic communism is universal, urges the alleviation of conditions where possible and the removal of social evils, but he reiterates the entreaties to those who have the power to use it for Christ. Quote, "We cannot contemplate without sorrow the heedlessness of those who seem to make light of these imminent dangers and, with stolid indifference, allow the propagation far and wide of those doctrines which seek by violence and bloodshed the destruction of all society. Even more severely must be condemned the foolhardiness of those who neglect to remove or modify such conditions as exasperate the minds of the people and so prepare the way for the overthrow and ruin of the social order." End of quote. Is the Irish Republican Brotherhood part of the world scheme? Needless to say, documentary information about such a matter is very difficult to obtain. Let us, however, take in turn the origin of the Fenian organization out of which the IRB and the Clan na Gael evolved, the ritual and form of initiation of the Clan na Gael, and lastly, the most important point, the attitude of the IRB towards the mystical body of Christ. With regard to the origin of the Fenian Society, A.M. Sullivan writes in New Ireland, quote, "Two of the refugees of the 48 movement, Mr. John O'Mahony and Mr. James Stevens, had settled for some time in Paris after their escape from Ireland in 1848. They there fell into the society of men who, during that year of revolutions in various parts of Europe, from Vienna to Rome, had played a part much like their own, and soon, in what may be called the central training school of European revolutionism, they learned that the way to begin was by a secret society. After a residence of a few years in the French capital, O'Mahony proceeded to America. Stevens quietly returned to Ireland. Before parting, they had both arrived at the conclusion that if ever their principles were to have another opportunity of promulgation in Ireland, it should be in accordance with the skillful tactics they had learned in Paris. I was, in the same sense as the national leaders had ever been, as seditious as any of them in my hostility to the imperial scheme of destroying our national autonomy. But I have not studied in vain the history of secret oath-bound associations. I regarded them with horror." End of quote. A curious testimony to the similarity between the form of initiation of the Clan na Gael and that of Masonry is given by Henri Le Caron, or Thomas Beach, who entered the Clan na Gael as a professional spy or secret service agent in the pay of the English government. As such, I have found it necessary to control carefully his statements with regard to Irishmen and Irish affairs. But having examined the process of initiation of the Clan na Gael, I am not astonished that the blindfolding, wrapping, etc., made such an impression on Beach. Here is what he says, quote, "The ritual and forms of initiation were framed entirely on Masonic precedent, and to the vast majority of the members of the Clan na Gael, the statement will come no doubt as a great surprise that the much vaunted secret forms of the Masonic order need be secret to them no longer, inasmuch as that, when being admitted to a Clan na Gael club, they were going through the same forms and ceremonies as attached themselves to that great source of mystery and wonderment in the eyes of the non-elect, the Masonic Brotherhood. I have often laughed to myself at the surprise shown by some Masons on the occasion of their initiation to Clan na Gael, for there are Masons in the Clan, at being brought once more into contact with the familiar procedure. End of quote.